Nityananda Vishnupad Paramahamsa Pravyakacharya Sutarata Sri Srimad. Here's the Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON BBT Founder Charges Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Pravyakacharya Sutarata Sri Srimad. Here's the Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisananta Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Ananta Kori Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Namachai Sila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Premzikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunichananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Siva Sri Gaura Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gogopinath Shamakun Narakun Giri Govardhana Ki Jai. Vrindavan Nama Ki Jai. Sri Maipur Navadip Nama Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Dama Ki Jai. Nu Dwarka Dama Ki Jai. Jamuna Mai Ki Jai. Ganga Mai Ki Jai. Sri Mati Tosi Devi Ki Jai. Sri Mati Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Sri Sri Rukmini Dwakarish Ki Jai. Lojaganath Baladev Srimati Subhadra Ki Jai. Sri Sri Gorni Thai Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Govinda Ki Jai. Srimati Gauri Devidasi Ki Jai. Gaura Premananda Haribo. All glorious assembled devotees. All glorious assembled devotees. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to Sri Sri Guru Angaranga Jai Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Thank you for coming. So, this is our 29th year. I can't even believe it. So many years, 29 years we've been doing this. And every year, it's a very ecstatic day for us, for Tari and myself. I'm hoping that for all of you also. Of course, you know, we do have a wonderful feast being prepared right now in the kitchen. There's Suresh Krishna and his team, and there's several devotees in there. I don't know who they all are, actually, but I should try to find out and let you know who they are. So very, very special preparations so that all of you can become very happy, and hopefully Radha Govinda will accept all our devotion today in terms of glorifying Radha Govinda, of course, and Shishi Rukmini Dwarkadish and Jagannath Baladev, Srimati Subhadra, and Sisi Gornitai, and of course, Gauri Devidasi, who was a very sincere disciple of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Gauri Dasi was a very special devotee in times that she was in Krishna consciousness. She was here in, I think, about 17 years. Yeah, she was here in Krishna consciousness for 17 years before she left this world in 1986. She was a book distributor, a preacher. She was very determined in that activity to please Srila Prabhupada. Most of you know, how many have not been in this program yet? Okay, there's several devotees. In the 29 years, I've repeated myself maybe 27 times. I'm not sure. But please forgive me if you've heard it before. But, you know, this is something that we do once a year. And it's memories. It's remembering this beautiful devotee that served very nicely here in New Dwarka Dham to please her spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. So she was in Krishna consciousness for 17 years. And in those 17 years, she did a lot of service, especially, as we said, book distribution, preaching. And she trained a lot of people on book distribution. And not only that, but in her spare time, I don't even know how that happened, but in her spare time, she painted several paintings that are in the books today. I just remember one where Sanatana Goswami meets Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know that one in the Chaitanya Charitamrita? Most of you remember that one? Where they're meeting and Lord Chaitanya embraces Sanatana Goswami. That was Gauri Dasi. So you can feel her mood in terms of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She was very much dedicated to that activity of preaching on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. I have a few notes here. I'm just going to kind of look at them and say something from them. It says here that even when she became ill with cancer in 1984, she never lost her vigorous determination to give Krishna consciousness to others. And that's true. Because when she found out she was ill, She still continued on with her service. Eventually she couldn't, so she went to Vrindavan thinking that that was going to be the end, that she was going to die in Vrindavan. But the cancer went into remission. So what does she do? She comes back to the U.S. and then she gets a motorhome and starts traveling around. You can imagine. That's pretty amazing. That's actually very, very sincere, not caring about her situation. And I believe that she only went through this illness for a couple of years. You know, that C word is pretty powerful. And sometimes we get fooled by it. And so she probably thought she was going to do good, get better. But she didn't. So in 86, she became ill again. And at that time, she went back to Vrindavan. And there she passed away in 1986. It's not easy to go to Vrindavan to leave this world. It's not easy. You know, when there's several devotees that I know that have gone there to leave this planet. And when they went there, they were actually very determined. But I recall specifically two or three devotees that I'm thinking of, but I don't want to mention their names. There's a certain kind of fear that overcomes you. You know, one particular devotee that was my friend, he actually became so fearful that he tried to run away. He actually tried to run away from Vrindavan and try to get to Delhi. He didn't let anybody know. And so he ran down the street and they actually caught him. And they caught him and brought him back to the temple. And maybe a week or two later, he died. So my point being is, for someone to go to Vrindavan and get there and be able to leave this planet from there is not an easy task. We're sitting here and we're thinking, well, gee, that's not so bad. I'd love to go to Vrindavan. Sure, we would. But we don't know if we'd love to go there knowing that we won't come back up that Bhaktivedanta Marg. It's good to think that you're going to go there down that road to Vrindavan and enjoy Krishna Balaram and Radhashyama Sundar and Sri Sri Gaur Nitai. But it's another thing to go down that road and know that you won't come out that road again. That'll be the end of it. So I'm just trying to set a kind of a dramatic stage here, obviously. But there's a real purposeful idea behind that, and that it's not easy. And she accomplished that goal. That's what's so glorious, that she was capable of accomplishing that goal and leaving this planet. And when it comes to that particular time in one's life, it doesn't really matter whether you're, you know, a big tough guy or if you're some little girl, it's all the same. When it comes down to that particular point in life, it doesn't matter who you are, and what you had. But it doesn't matter what your consciousness is like. What kind of consciousness do we have? That's what actually matters. So we can be a big tough guy for the first 60 years of your life or whatever, and then the results will be shown how tough we are when we're laying on that bed or going down Bhaktivedanta Marg to Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram Temple. That's the difference. It takes courage. It takes fearlessness. It takes strength. So this is what she had. And that all came from her sincere desire to serve her spiritual master. That's where that came from. We've heard many times Prabhupada has mentioned that by the service of the spiritual master, one can become fearless in this material world. One can pursue one's desires to serve the spiritual master and go back home, back to Godhead. And this is what's so unique. And I feel that I remember that most about Gauri Dasi. She was a very determined person. I was able to associate with her on many occasions. On many occasions. And every time I did associate with her, she was always the same. She never different, always the same. You couldn't really talk any nonsense around her. You know, if you try to say something about the weather, she said, what? It's kind of cool today. What? So what? It's like you didn't want to talk about the weather, and you know, you weren't going to talk about some just crazy thing. You had to speak something about preaching, something about Krishna consciousness, and this was Gauri. And very, very determined. So this is something from Srila Prabhupada about Gauridasi. Quote, your Sankirtan reports are very encouraging, especially that one girl, Gauridasi, who has set an all ISKCON women's record of 108 books. This is very wonderful. Formerly, this would not have been possible. But by Krishna's grace, everything is becoming possible. Encourage them to encourage all to increase more and more. This book distribution is the essence of our mission. So Srila Prabhupada recognized her determination to preach and distribute his books. And here this glorification, very important to please a spiritual master. This is the essence of life, is to please the spiritual master. And take his instruction. This is how you please the spiritual master, by taking the instruction that he has given us and then execute it. And if you execute it so nicely that the spiritual master recognizes you, what more could you possibly want in life? So this is very important. And we can see that because Srila Prabhupada was pleased with her, she was determined to go back home, back to Godhead. She was determined, whatever it took. And I think that she accomplished that goal. And I think that if we are able to really understand what the Guru wants, and this is something that can never be spoken about enough, because if we really understand what the spiritual master wants, then one will actually execute it. And regardless of health or mind or whatever position or condition of life they're in. And we see that Srila Prabhupada accomplished the same goal. That from the time that he got his instruction at Radha Kund from his divine grace, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, it was actually 40 years. Can you imagine? It was 40 years later that Srila Prabhupada got on the Jaladuta to come to America to preach Krishna consciousness in English. This is called determination. And of course, not all of us can be like Srila Prabhupada, but we can be like Gauridasi. Hari Bol! We can actually be like her if we want to be, if we desire to be. And I think this is the glory of Gauridasi. So, yes, if some people would like to say something, please do. Can we have
We want to know if one of the ladies would like to say something first. Omkar, maybe, or... And then we'll switch back and forth.
Hare Krishna. It was the year of 1972 that I ran into Gauridasi. I joined in 71 and I was 17 and my parents made me go home to finish high school. And in 1972, I was kind of looking for devotees again and thinking of going back. And I ran into Gauri distributing strawberry incense and BTGs in the street. And I approached her and told her my story about living in the temple and joining, but my parents made me go home to finish school, and telling her I was ready to move back in the temple and I wanted to join right then and there. And she had this little smile. She wasn't like super excited, but she was really happy. And she said, well, come with me, we'll go now. And I was so thrilled. And so on the subway ride, she was preaching to me. It was very gentle preaching and soft-natured. And then in between, she would be chanting a little japa and then preaching again to me. And it was a really nice subway ride. And that's how I remember Mother Gauri. And here and there, we've had interreactions. She was always kind to me. Another favorite memory of mine is I served at ISKCON Press at the Brooklyn Temple on Tiffany Place. And oftentimes, I would take breaks and watch the artists paint their paintings. And she was one of my favorite artists, and sometimes she would tell me and explain what the painting was about. And a lot of times she would read parts of a letter from Srila Prabhupada that would give basic instructions on helping the artist how to paint the paintings. So it was very personal, my relationship with Gauri, and I have fond memories of her in this way.
Thank you. Hari Bol. So I have a quote here from devotees. We don't want to mention any names, but we'll just read the quote about Gauri Dasi. Quote, "You could see how she was empowered by Srila Prabhupada in her heart to distribute books on such a high spiritual platform. She was a very special, pure preacher, and she wasn't sentimental at all. She could go all day long distributing books, and she would never repeat the same thing twice. She was very personal with each person she met. Even if the person was completely rude or obnoxious, she would still see the good in them. Practically everyone she approached, whether they took a book or not, never felt threatened by her. They always left with a good impression of Krishna consciousness." I do know that one thing too, that she would never let anybody off the hook. Once she stopped you, you really had to say no. And she did it in a very sweet way though, that's my point. They really liked her determination. And that was her special gift. Yes, Vaishnava.
Swavasrubhu, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about when Gauri came back and was traveling in her motorhome. Did she have her deities with her? Did she care for them then? And maybe you could tell us a little bit about the arrangement of how you came to inherit like that.
Yeah. Well, of course, when she did come through Denver when she was traveling with her motorhome. And I think she did have the deities with her. Yes, I believe that she did. I can't remember. That was like, 30-something years ago. But I do recall she came to Denver, and she was with some girls. So she did come, and she was preaching, traveling. At that particular time, Tadit and I developed a real close relationship with a friendship. Just through the years of seeing her different places, and Tadit and Gauri became acquaintances and then began to be very good friends. So it was a gradual build-up. And when Gauri was, again, when the cancer came back, when she went to India, and then Tadit was there and associated with her there and helped her while she was there and leaving this world. And us receiving Radha Govinda was something that was a surprise. We didn't know. There was a letter written, and the letter was asking Tadit and I to take care of Radha Govinda. And eventually she said that if they could be put in a temple and installed in a temple, she would like that. So we have not accomplished that particular goal. I would say that Tadit and I have become very attached to Radha Govinda. So the only way they'll probably get in a temple right now is if I build one. I don't have the time to build a temple for Radha Govinda. But we try to make a little temple in our house. We have a, area there, the front room of our apartment. We've dedicated to Shishi Radha Govinda. So we accomplished it to some degree. But yes, it was a complete surprise for us to have Radha Govinda. That's true. That's true. We are a preaching center there.
Any of the other ladies want to say anything?
Maybe you can say your name, Rasayana, so everybody knows who you are.
Hare Krishna, my name is Rasayana. And I don't remember exactly, but it must have been around 1981 or 82. And I didn't really join, but my sister joined. They were Brahmacharinis here in the ashram. And they would go on Sankirtan. Mother Gauri was training them. And I was so attached to my sisters. They were younger than me. So I would go out on Sankirtan with them. We'd have breakfast together here with Mother Gauri. She'd read to us every morning before Sankirtan. And then on Sankirtan, she, was always just telling us, just remember Krishna. That's all you have to do. Never forget Krishna. And she would always tell us that. And I remember, like Svavasprabhu was saying, she was always soft-spoken. She was big. strong, even intimidating looking, but she was so soft-spoken all the time. And when, like, for example, in DMVs, when we were trying to, you know, preach to people, give them books, we would all, like, sometimes four of us would go to a DMV. And all the other mantras would be, like, chasing people, shouting, you know. And she would just softly say, "Sir." And they would, she was like a magnet. They would turn around, walk up to her, where we would have to chase people down. And she would just engage them and show them Bhagavad Gita. She loved doing large books. She would show them Bhagavad Gita, the changing bodies. And it's true, she was so personal with everyone. So she really showed how purity is the force.
Yeah.
You know, so that's, you know, what I have to share with.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. It says here, quote, "I remember how we would be traveling and she just refused to lie down. She said she didn't want to slip into the mode of ignorance. At night, she would sleep in the front seat. She would put down some boxes of books between the two seats and stretch out. Although she was so austere, she always wanted to make sure we were comfortable."
Hare Krishna. I'll just say a few words. It's amazing. I was in the kitchen just now taking pictures of the wonderful preps that you'll be enjoying shortly. And Sri Satyanandan, many of you know, the head cook in the Didi kitchen, he came up to me and said, "You know, I was in Brooklyn recently, and now I understand why all of you who come from New York want to stay in California. California is like a heavenly planet compared to..." So, Gauri was in that environment. I joined in 73, and we came here in 75 when they created the BBT. So just for a few years, I was with her in New York, and she was fearless. In New York at the time, it's not like now. Now it's kind of, you know, not so bad. But back then, people hated us. We were weird. We were strange. You know, "Who are you guys? Where do you come from with your bald head and your, you know, bed sheets?" You know, they really hated us. And they actually even attacked the temple on Henry Street one time. But in that atmosphere, she was fearless. I remember, you know, she would, many of us, you know, we would try a little book distribution, but we were intimidated by businessmen. Any guy with a suit and a tie, you just stay away from him. But she would target the business people. She would target them. And like Rasayana was saying, she wouldn't have to chase. She would just say, "Sir, I'd like to show you this book," or something like that. And they would stop, almost like they ran into a brick wall. So she had that purity and that determination. And another thing, interesting thing about Gauri, sometimes we see devotees who are, like Prabhupada was himself, very somber, very sober, not necessarily walking around smiling ear to ear, and we think, "What's wrong with you?" No, that doesn't mean they're not happy internally. So Gauri was like that. She was very somber, very sober on the exterior. You know, you wouldn't look at her and think she was a happy person. But internally, because she was Krishna conscious, she was very happy. And she was always in that mood of wanting to share her happiness and Krishna consciousness with others. If you're not happy, then what do you have to share? But because she was happy in Krishna consciousness, she was always in the mood of wanting to share.
Hari Bo.
So, any of the other ladies want to say something after?
I can mention something here. From Narataki Devidas, I should mention her name because she was an associate of Gauri Devidasi, and she writes something very, very nice. She says, "Living with Gauri and serving with her, I became very close to her. So when we found out about her illness, I immediately offered myself to help her. She allowed me to accompany her to Vrindavan, India, to help her in her final days. Of course, Krishna didn't make those her final days. He allowed her to come once again to the West. During the time we were in Vrindavan, however, Gauri told me how uncomfortable she felt accepting service from me. Her body was becoming more and more invalid, but I saw total calmness overcome her when different devotees would come and read to her. Quote, being in Vrindavan, she said, Gauri said, is like being in the lap of Krishna. I feel totally protected. End of quote. Gauri had gone to Vrindavan to meet death, but Krishna had another plan. Gauri began recovering her health. With renewed strength, she returned to America to continue preaching. In the summer of 1985, she headed a women's Sankirtan party traveling across the country. That's when she came to Denver. Remember, she came through that time. She was as inspired and determined as ever, but once again illness forced her to realize that death was indeed near. In November, she returned to Vrindavan, confident that one who dies in the sacred land of Vrindavan returns to the spiritual abode of Lord Krishna. Gauri Dasi Ki Jai.
Haribol. So Karuna Dharini? Oh, here's Balai.
Yes.
Perfect time. Maybe you can just give her a little seat here so she can sit down while speaking. You want to stand?
Hi, Krishna. So I was a devotee just for a little while when Gauri started coming to the temple. And I was young, but she was the saddest person I had ever seen in my life. I was just astounded by how someone could be so... I don't remember the personal tragedy that she had. Do you remember, Savas, what it was?
No, I don't. I don't remember.
I think someone died in her family or her boyfriend or her child or something. So she was so sad, but she took shelter, Srila Prabhupada, first by reading his books and then by distributing his books. And she just stayed steady like that. She never became joyfully happy like we think. Oh, so happy, but she was very steady. And I remember last year also, Savas, when he was speaking, he was telling about how Vrindavan, now there's air conditioning and amenities, but when Gauri was there, that it was so austere. It was so hot, there was no air conditioning, but she still remained determined to pass away there.
I mean, right now in India, it's 50 degrees Celsius, which is about 117 degrees. It's so hot that the streets are melting. And this is when Gauri Dasi was there.
Also, Gauri, in Brooklyn Temple, she used to like to dress little Radha Govinda, she dressed the deities very much. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Haribo. I'll read something in between the next person. Quote, Gauri's greatest qualification in the eyes of the devotees was her sincere determination to please Srila Prabhupada in her service to Krishna by distributing books to the fallen souls. All of Gauri's service was marked by this incredible determination. Now, with this same determination, she turned to the business of dying as Prabhupada had instructed. She often spoke of Prabhupada's perfect example of how to leave the material body. It was her desire to leave her body while preaching, as he had done. My advancement has come from hard work, she said several times. We told her all the devotees had come to learn from her how to die, so she must show them that even at the end one must chant the holy name. Her tongue was barely able to move, but somehow barely audible. She slowly chanted with us, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. After this, she began to smile broadly about many things. Anyone else? Can you say your name?
My name is Sachitanoy Das. And I had the great fortune to distribute books with Mother Gauri. And one amazing experience that I have, of course, watching her, as you already mentioned a few things, very sober, very serious, like she was fed up with this material world. You see her face and you see her profile, and you will understand she's been through so many things that she's really convinced. But as a new person, when you come to Krishna consciousness, you know, you still don't grasp or you don't have that strong faith. And I was bewildered, confused, and you can say scared to approach people. So she came, she saw me. She said, do not be sentimental. And I was like, wow. She said, these people are about to go to hell. With those words, these people are about to go to hell. And you are here by the order of Lord Chaitanya to save them, to help them. And like that. And I said, wow, what a conviction. You know, I appreciated that very much. Because I thought, here is one senior person, and she looks like a mother. She's wearing white, and she will stop anyone. Not like us, you know, like I will choose someone who looks, you know, in my material conception, sweet or nice. She will go to anyone. So that was one of my first experiences. And another one is when Mother Gauri came back after she was an Indian, came back. We were doing some fundraising at the LA Street scene. And most of the devotees, maybe 20 or 30 devotees, doing paraphernalia. And I never liked to do paraphernalia personally, I never. But anyway, so I was seeing that suddenly in the middle of that crowd, thousands of people, Bhagavad Gitas, hardbound Bhagavad Gitas were passing through. I said, who's doing that? I became transcendentally envious. It's like, ooh, I should be doing that. But at the same time, another thought came to my mind. How can these people understand, you know, like Bhagavad Gita here, these people are acting like animals. The police sometimes was actually beating them. I would see breaking up fights. And I said, well, but someone is here distributing Bhagavad Gita. So I'm curious. I'm looking around and looking, who's that person? Who's that fortunate soul? And suddenly when I saw far away, with white, you can see, you know, everybody has different colored clothes, but white clothes is, you can see from far away, oh, that's Mother Gauri. I got so happy to see her like that. And that shows another determination and conviction. And another time, I came across with some Prabhupada's letters, and I'm going to paraphrase, not exactly, I don't remember exactly, but it appears that she either requested to Prabhupada through someone, or she wrote a letter to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada wrote a letter to a devotee in which he was explaining certain things. But at the bottom he said, and that girl, Gauri, she can paint later, but now I want her to distribute my books. And when I saw that, I said, wow, amazing, because when we come to Krishna consciousness, we have our ideas. I want to do this. I would like to do this. But when the guru says, I want you to do this, and you do that, that's the success. And then we can understand how she ended up being in Vrindavan, which is not just a coincidence. It's the result of all your blessings from the Guru and Krishna. So that was one thing. And another one was that she was always making arrangements like a general, like a Sankirtan general with her women devotees. And one time she came to me, she said, you know, I'm always making arrangements to make sure that Srila Prabhupada's books are distributed in the best way. And I had this, she showed me she designed like a BBT logo, the wooden table. And she said, you know, I'm going to be leaving and I don't know if I will be able to do this anymore, but you, he says, you please do this. And I go, okay, I try. I'm not doing it. I feel bad not doing it the way she wanted with that same design, but I'm distributing the books in a table also in colleges and universities. So I'm sure she will forgive me for not doing what she wanted to do with that particular sign that she designed or she chose. But so that's my remembrance with Mother Gauri. And
thank you.
She's a real mother. Harinam Sankirtan Ki
Jai.
Mother Gauri Dasi Ki
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai. Also it should be known that Gauri was, you know, like quite a senior devotee in age. You know, she was in her 40s at this time. And that was like almost 30 years ago. And so we were like, 30 years ago, we were like young people. I mean, you know, young devotees in age-wise. So when she spoke, it was like real, you know, like a mother, you know, like really speaking to you. No, you do this. So when she says like that, I know what you mean, because I got a couple of incidences myself like that with her. And she said it in a very nice way to help you understand. You could see that it wasn't out of envy or that she didn't like you, but she would instruct you, which was really kind of cool. Anyone else? Okay, so I'd like to read this last section. I'm just going to say that we're about ready to take prasadam, so I hope that all the devotees in the kitchen hear me say this. Because I'll read this one last section, and then we'll all be ready to take some nice Krishna prasadam. on behalf of Gauri Devidasi, and I'm sure all of us will be very happy and satisfied. So I'll read this one part here. As the days passed, Gauri became more and more childlike. Now she was showing signs of complete submission. She said she knew that when she wanted only Krishna, then he would take her back. Somehow, with our preaching, Prabhupada's voice, and Gauri's chanting and absorption in the pictures of Srila Prabhupada, she was always able to pull her consciousness back, and again she would start to smile broadly and lie peacefully. Several times Gauri asked who was present, and she was pleased to hear each name. At one point, she asked to sit at the end of the bed. Quote, I want to put my feet flat on the floor, see who is here, and concentrate my mind on Srila Prabhupada. End of quote. As she was very weak, she began to shake uncontrollably, even with our fully supporting her body. So we quickly laid her back down again. Then she asked that we lower her to the floor. She said she was already so uncomfortable, she wouldn't mind. From this vantage point, the assembled devotees could see her better. The kirtan consisted mainly of the devotees chanting in response to Prabhupada on the continuously playing happening album. Dr. Narottam came and said, one more hour. She was still conscious. We read to her from the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita about Prabhupada's passing, and this consoled her greatly. Bhattisaranta Das brought remnants from the last water Srila Prabhupada drank before leaving this world, and we gave this to her. We brought her deities to stand close to her, and she studied them tearfully. We took photographs and asked her to smile for her friends in Los Angeles, which she did. And that's the picture there at the feet of Srila Prabhupada. If you'd like to take a close look at that. Then finally, she asked to be rolled over on her back. At that point, she opened her eyes very wide and dryly said, this is very intense. End of quote. She slowly repeated the Hare Krishna mantra two more times. Gauri then left her body on that day, June 5th, surrounded by devotees loudly chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Therefore, we personally witnessed that by the time Gauri passed from her body, she appeared to be peacefully surrendered to the divine will of Krishna. Gauri Dasi Ki Jai! Wow. You know, this is very sweet because the way that they try to keep Gauri Dasi cool is by taking her saris and dipping them in cold water and then putting the saris and cloth over her. That's how she kept cool, so to speak. So very, very intense, very difficult, but still she weathered it and she pushed through and she accomplished her goal. So it's always nice to glorify a beautiful devotee, very nice, sincere soul, who really just wanted to please her spiritual master. And I think this is really, to me, that was the greatest thing of her. I spoke about these things with her in the concourses of airports, like New York and Atlanta. So we discussed these kind of things about serving the spiritual master, because that's what she wanted to talk about. There was no complaining in front of Gauri Dasi. Okay, so one last thing is, I'd like all of us to please give a merciful feeling from your heart for Gokula Devidasi, who's here. She's also in the same condition. She has accepted her situation, and she'll be leaving us tomorrow to go to London, and we probably won't see her again. But we would like to give her a big farewell and encourage her, pray for her, and hope that C.C. Rukmini Dwarkadish and C.C. Jagannath Baladev, Srimati Subhadra, and C.C. Gornitai help her on her journey to go back home back to Godhead. But we'll be praying for her. So let's chant the Maha Mantra on her behalf. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. She's been a real soldier of Lord Chaitanya, and we really, really appreciated her association and her service while she was here in New Dwarka Dham. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. Okay, so I hope the kitchen crew heard me, did they? Okay, couple of minutes. Anyone else like to say something? Oh, I got something I can say. Pavani, do you want to say something? Is she? Huh? It's going to be a great party. It's already starting back there.
I remember Gauri as just being, as Swabhas said, she was older than all of us at that time. And she was so very serious. And her only desire was to go out and distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. And she put everything aside other than that. She and also, as he said, she would never take no for an answer, but yet she was very sweet and very gentle about how she pushed people into taking the book. There were no gimmicks. There was no change up for her. She just simply preached the book, the philosophy, and asked them for a donation, and that was it. They walked away with the book.
Yeah.
It was very, very wonderful being in her association.
Gauri Dasi Ki Jai! Okay, one last thing here. I'd like to just announce the feast crew. There was Suresh Krishna, Vaninath, and Sundari Gopika, Paravidya, Radhakripa Mai, Chaturika, Krishnanamacharya, Tadit and Deepti, Janava Ishwari, Sarika and Krishnapad and A. So these are devotees that worked for a couple of days in order to make this wonderful feast. So let's give them a big Hari Bol. We'll take here. So we're going to take prasadam right here today. All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So let's like